As announced, the scripture reading will come from 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. I just read 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13.
Good evening. Thank you, Jordan, for the scripture reading. And thank all of you for your presence tonight. I'm enjoying it. Had a good day. Had a wonderful meal. And I thank all of you for being so kind and so nice and for the hospitality. Yeah. I imagine I gained a few pounds today. And so I thank everybody for being here tonight. I kind of changed the lesson a little tonight to make it a little bit quicker, easier, and shorter. But it's a good lesson, I think. Paul Exhortation, if you want to give it a title. The exhortation of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. Now, brothers and sisters, you know Corinth had a lot of problems. They had doctrinal problems, they had moral problems, they had a lot of problems. And the Apostle Paul was correcting it, working with it, but he still called them Christians. God hadn't removed his candlestick yet. And this exhortation that Paul gave the church at Corinth is needed everywhere. Now, the passage that I didn't have Jordan to read was the next verse. And it says, whatever you do, let it all be done in love. But I thank him for his reading tonight. Let all things be done in love. So now, the Bible, the first thing, if you take a note, I want you to take this down. The Bible says, watch. Watch. Sometimes the way a word is said, it then expressed some danger. He says, watch. And there are a few words, and I won't be able to cover them all tonight. There are some words there. He says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And the 14th verse, let all things be done in love. Brethren, will that the motivation be? Do nothing that's motivated by anything else other than love. But he said, watch. Now, what I want to do with you on that watch is this. Who is the hardest person to watch? Who is the hardest person to watch? The Bible says watch. And what I want to do just for a few minutes is make note of some things that we need to watch. Watch. Who should we watch? Who is the hardest person to watch? You know, it's easy for me to watch you. It's easy. It's easy for you, sister, to watch the next sister. But you know who the hardest person is to watch? It's me. That's right. I can see something in everybody. You know, Jesus talked about it. Before you see too much in the other person, get your stuff out of your eye. That's right. It's easy. You know, in John chapter 8, when Jesus, they wanted to find some things on Jesus, they dragged this woman up. And they wanted to stone her to death. And they said, Lord, what you say about this? I'm paraphrasing a little bit if you think. Why was the man at, brother? Why didn't they drag him along with her? And they asked Jesus. They were wanting to find something wrong with Jesus. And Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. And then Jesus stood up, said, "You that are without sin, cast the first stone." So, brethren, who are you going to watch? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. Watch. That's one thing you need to watch. Now, my main but few things, I ain't going to dwell on it long because we don't have that much time. Watch yourself. Let that be the first one. Look at yourself. Look at the example that you set. Look at the example. Look at how you appear to those folks on the outside of you. Look at it. Folks notice things, brothers and sisters. Watch yourself. Watch the example that you set. But there are some other things you need to watch. You need to watch our attendance. Now, I tell them this in Mansfield. I need to tell them this. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they was from out of town, though. They've been sick. And I was talking to them on the telephone, and they said, "Brother James, I'm going to church tonight, although I've been sick." Y'all would know some of the family if I tell you who they were. I said, "Well, maybe." She said, "Well, let me tell you one thing. If I'm well enough to go other places, I can go to church service." I said, "I guess you're right about that. Watch yourself. Because other folks looks at you. They see how you attend services. They can see that. Watch. Watch your speech. Watch." And the Bible says also, brothers and sisters, it talks about watching. But there's something else that we want to talk about. Watch for an opportunity to do good. Watch for an opportunity. Watch for an opportunity to teach somebody. Watch for an opportunity to talk to somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Watch for it. Watch. You know, now I don't know how much hunting you all have done, because you all is most city than a lot of us. But rural people, You know, when they go squirrel hunting and draw hunting, they watch. They watch it for an opportunity. And we need to watch for an opportunity to teach somebody. There, time and time again, you can get those opportunities. You know, the dry cleaners that Hazel and I, like I said, Mom and I go to, we used to go there every week. It's in Ashland. And we would go there. It's out on 250. And it's out there where one reason we go there, it was cheaper. And they had a dry cleaners too. And we went there, and the woman finally asked, she says, "What did that man do with all them white shirts? Why do you have to have pants dressed? Now we're living in the blue jeans season." I know folk wear a lot of blue jeans, a lot of them don't wear white shirts. I like to wear white shirts. Sister Hazel told her. And guess what? She started to talking to me. And every week after that, I would give her a sermon outline or something and go out the Bible. Whether it ever does any good or not, they finally they selling the place, I done sold it. I don't know. But you have to watch for an opportunity to do good. But here's something else. The Bible says here that 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13 says, let me look at it. The Bible says in verse 13, hold fast. Let me see. 16 and verse 13. Let's notice it. The Bible tells us here that we ought to do what? Watch and hold fast. What ought we watch, brother? The first thing I want to talk about a little bit more, we need to watch the church. We need to watch that. We need to stand fast in the faith. You ought to observe what the church is teaching. Observe it. Look at it. Watch. There's a lot of things to be watched. And one of them is watch the doctrine and watch the practice of the church. Watch that. Watch that. That's what I teach when I go out to places, like in my hometown. When I preach for them, I taught this lesson one time before, and I think the first time I ever mentioned it was them. I told them to watch the doctrine. 2 John 9 says, he that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. Watch the doctrine. Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, even if an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than I have preached, let him be accursed. Now, brethren, if you think about the emphasis that Paul placed on that, think about that for a minute. In Galatians 1, in the verse 6, 7 verses. Think about if an angel would come in here tonight and would preach something that you couldn't read in your Bible, would preach something that Brother Wright hasn't taught, I haven't taught, and the Bible don't teach. What the Bible say you do? Let him be accursed. So, brethren, the Bible is strong on that. Revelation 22, 18 and 19, don't you add, don't you subtract. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Brethren, when you become a child of God, you obey the gospel, you know what you obey, and you know what it is. Now you stand there. 2 Timothy 4, 6, all down, Paul talks about he had fought a good fight. I stood in the faith. And we need to stand fast in the faith. Stand there. And Jude 3 says, earnestly contend for the faith. Brethren, when somebody, listen at this, is putting down that church I talked about this morning, that my Lord founded before the creation of the first dog or the first cat, when somebody is picking on that church, don't stay quiet. You know, it's an old country song out that said, when you're picking on the church, let them be walking on the fighting side of you. You stand up and speak out. Christ ain't here to do it for you. Paul, Peter, and them are not here now to stand up. And you know, I take my head off to Peter every time I preach that sermon I preached this morning. Peter was the one that told Christ, I'll die for you. I'll do this, I'll do that. All that big talk. And denied him three times. But I take my head off to him. Because when he was preaching on Pentecost, when he stood up, he says, I want all of you to know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus that you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Couldn't he have said that Jesus, that somebody assassinated? Wouldn't that sound more nicer? He didn't do that. Paul said, Peter said, that Jesus that you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Peter done a great job. And so, brethren, the Bible says stand fast in the faith. Don't add, don't subtract, and don't change. And it says be brave. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. To stand up for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When it comes down to that, you stand up and stand strong and be brave. And I want to say something else too. It's about whatever you do. That's verse 14. That's the one Jordan didn't read. Whatever you do and all you do, he said, let it be motivated by what? L-O-V-E. L-O-V-E. Sometime, brethren, when brethren have had to act and correcting somebody that was wrong doctrinally or morally or whatever, the first thing jump into their mind, he don't like him. He don't like her. That's not it. Whatever you do, let it be motivated from a heart of love. Don't do nothing out of envy, strife, or jealousy. Nothing. Nothing. And let me go back and say again, watch yourself. Watch yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5. The Bible says, why examine yourself? Examine yourself. And whatever you have to do, let it become from a heart of love. But stand fast in the faith. Brethren, how do you get the faith? Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's how you get faith. And anything you cannot read in this Bible is not of the faith. 2 John 9 tells us, anybody that walks outside the ring of authority have not God. I had somebody ask me here a few weeks ago. And they said, Brother James, how can you know and be absolutely, positively sure you got it right? I said, read 2 John 2 and verse 3, I think. He says, we know him If we keep his commandment, we know we know it. You don't have to guess about it, brother. It would be an awful thing to stand between heaven and hell and you guessing and you don't know absolutely sure. The Bible says we know it if we keep his commandment. It's one thing to know him, and it's another thing to know about him. I know about George Washington, but I don't know him. But when you know Jesus, when you keep them commandments, you walk with him every day, you talk to him every day, you know him. You know him. It's one thing to know him, and it's another thing to know about him. That's right. But brother, he says, if you keep his commandment, we know him if we keep his commandment. And so, brothers and sisters, Paul told the church in Corinth, Paul told them, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And then on the tail end, he said, in verse 14, whatever you do, let it be done in love. And you know, brothers and sisters, when you look at the scripture, somebody asked me, when they're teaching Brother Cole, he and his wife ain't been members of the church too awful long. He is a quiet man. He is a private man. He stays to himself. He is a farmer. He lives in a little farm town. He worked in a factory all his life. But he's been faithful since he's been there. He's not one that made all of the services, Bible studies, but he'll make every Lord's Day morning, he'll be there. He come to church that morning, and it was ice cold. Leroy was there, and my brother Glenn and the rest of them. They went to him. They said, Brother Cole, says, you sure you want to be baptized this morning? I had preached his wife's funeral. He's a farmer. He lives in Lucas. And he says, it's cold. He come to me. He said, he says the baptistry is cold. But I'm not going home until I'm baptized. So will you do it? I said, Brother Cole, I sure will. So I put on some clothes, tried to get some. And brother, I'm going to tell you, that water was ice cold. Brother Cole is 85 years old. I've taken care of his wife's funeral. I've taken care of that. And I don't know what got into him. But I've been preaching to him for a long time. And he said, Brother James, I ain't going home this morning. Kind of scared me a little bit. I thought something was going to happen to him. Until I go into that water. I went into the baptistry. And baptized him. Now, brother, I want to tell you something. I ain't been as cold. Maybe one other time I was that cold. Jonathan. Y'all know Jonathan Wyatt? Brother Wyatt's son. His daughter-in-law, Barbara. I baptized her one night and it was 14 below zero. And a Baptist brother that didn't have a bit of heat in it. But they bought big covers out and put around both of us when we come out of the water. But Jonathan's wife, I baptized her 20 years ago. And brother and sister, let me tell you what. Folks don't know the value of what I'm talking about. Now, as a general rule, I would tell people, God has set something before us. God has set eternal life, and then as hell, damnation. And you know what most folks think? Might be some of y'all think that. Most folks think, well, I need judgment when Christ come back again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Matthew 5:25. When Christ come back, let me tell you something. Your punishment starts the minute that you leave here. Are y'all listening? Your punishment began. Look at Lazarus and the rich man. How long has that rich man been in trouble? How long have Lazarus been enjoying the comfort of Abraham's bosom? Brethren, your trouble began when you leave. There ain't no place in between. I'm just telling you, that's what the Bible said. The rich man cried out when he tried to get, he asked God to send Lazarus back to my father's house. But in order for God to send Lazarus back, he would have to raise Lazarus from the dead. And God said he wasn't going to do that. So you got Moses and the prophet. Brother, God is no respect to person. Peter had to learn that. Romans 2 and verse 11, God is not a respect to person. God ain't going to do nothing for you that he won't do for somebody else. God ain't going to do that. And Peter and Paul told him. Peter told him. In Acts 10, God has shown me something. God is not a respected person. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth in his baptized shall be saved, that meant for everybody. God got one plan of obedience. That's for everybody. The rich man, he wanted God to send somebody back to his father's house, but God wasn't going to do that. Is he in trouble now? Yes. 2,000 years ago when he made this request about it. But you know something? He's still in trouble. And Lazarus is still enjoying the comfort of Abraham's bosom. Brethren, let me tell you something. If a person outside the church understood the condition he or she is in, you know what? They wouldn't wait till I finished preaching. I was talking to somebody before church started. Y'all know I've been coming here a long time. Some of you young folks wasn't even me. That's right. I've been coming here a long time. And I knew all of the older people that was here. Fine men and women, brothers and sisters, that's gone on to their reward. They enjoying it now. Brother, the minute that you leave this world, that's what you need to watch. You need to watch the time that you waste. The time that you spend outside of Christ, the time you spend out there, if you understood what you're missing, if you understood that, yeah, you would do it. So, watch yourself. Watch yourself. Yeah. Brother Leon, and he passed on. He went to the hospital. He died 16 days. And I can remember. He talked to me every night about some Bible subject. But you know some, brother? The only thing that he was really interested in was the church. He wasn't worried about the other stuff. It was the church. I was the one that told him to go to the hospital the last morning he lived. He told me, he said, Brother James, I've been in this chair for 4 days. I said, well, we're going to get you out of that chair today. And we did. But I want to tell you this. He says, I'm not afraid. Because the Bible says, blessed are they that die in the Lord, henceforth they may rest from their labors. It wouldn't be a blessing. God wouldn't fool you. God wouldn't tell you. He told John, blessed are they that die in the Lord, that it was a blessing if it wasn't. I've known folks here for the last, since in the 60s. And I know I miss them now. But at the same time, you had a brother preaching a meeting here when my wife died. And he come back there in the back right after that. And I was back there. And he quoted 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-9. He said, Brother James, the Bible says when the Lord come back, all of those that are sleeping Jesus going to bring them with them. And he said, all of the redeemed from the world going to come back. And he said, you'll meet them in the air and forever be with the Lord. And he said, Brother James, you will meet Sister Hazel again. Because, brethren, God, Jesus, they never broke a promise. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus, the Bible says, impossible for him to lie. He says, if you do what I tell you to do, I'm going to save you. And you ain't got no guess. You ain't got nothing to worry about when you do that. Now I want to tell you all tonight. If there's somebody here, if there's anything in your life that you think might give you trouble when this life is over, come on up front. Don't hold on. I was out eating the other day. And the place where I normally eat at, some of you all know where that's at. Because you've ate with me. I went in, I got a table, and one of the waitresses come. And she says, I want to tell you. Said, as a man, that talk to you all the time. Says he died last night. Brother Elridge then ate with me out there. Me and him then ate together. I said, how long had he been sick? She says he was never sick. So he just failed. So brothers and sisters, if there's anything, let me say this to you, we're going to sing the invitation song. If there's anything in your life that will give you trouble, Come on up and get it straight. Plan two is, joy the Bible said, if you're faithful and just to confess your sin, that goes along with repentance. If you repent and confess your sin, he says, I will forgive them. That's plan two. That's the everyday plan. If it wasn't for that plan, brother, nobody would ever go to heaven. Because the Bible says none of us is perfect. Romans 3 and verse 23. If there's something going to give you gate trouble, there's a way you get rid of sin. You can't wear it out. You can't do that. You can't hide it. The only way to get rid of it is repent of it, confess it, and ask God to forgive you. We're going to sing the invitation song. But let's remember this lesson tonight. Paul, in his exhortation to the saints at Corinth, Paul says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, be strong, act like men. And whatever you do, let it all be done in love. Don't ever do nothing out of hate, envy, and strife. Who's going to lead that singing tonight? Come on up.